Welcome to the Junior Golf Blueprint, episode 32, presented by Matt Walter, PGA Tour Professional. Today's podcast, we have Coleman Jones. He is going to Belmont University this fall as a freshman. He is also our 2017 Tennessee Junior Amateur Champion. I've been working with Coleman since he was 13, and he's just a great kid, and I think you'll really enjoy this podcast. We go into a lot of great insights in our journey together as we came up through the ranks. So, hope you enjoy this podcast. It's got a lot of good information for all you kids out there. So listen up and enjoy. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So today we have Coleman Jones out of Nashville, Tennessee. He is one of my pupils that I've been working with for, I don't know, a long time. He's about 13. So Coleman, introduce yourself, young man, and tell us who you are.
Hey guys, I'm Coleman Jones. I've been working with Matt since I was about 13. I moved here in 2011 when I was about 11 or 12 years old and hadn't played a ton. And then Matt was my first coach in Tennessee, and I've been working with him ever since.
Yeah, man. So tell us about that little transition. You moved here to Tennessee. I picked you up, but you also are a tennis player, so you're a multi-sport athlete. What else do you do to kind of entertain yourself when you're not a golfer?
Yeah, I was playing tennis for a long time. I've always played tons of sports. I've probably played 8 or 9 sports before, and I've always loved being outside. I love the outdoors. I'm always hanging out with friends playing football or something, and I love watching hockey. I've been loving all the playoff hockey with the Sharks from San Jose, where I'm from, and the Predators. So yeah. I've just loved watching all that right now.
I forgot you got a little Sharks in you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Sometimes, but I like it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, you're a great kid. You also do a lot of extracurriculars too. You took off and did some kind of like fancy debate kind of thing, didn't you? Or a political civics kind of class thing?
Yeah, I was in the YMCA Youth and Government Conference at the state capitol for like 4 or 5 days, and we just we stayed in the House of Representatives and the Senate of the state capitol and just went over bills that we had made ourselves and ran through the procedures of what the normal legislative branch does in the government, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, see, that's why you're going to go further than me. You're smarter than I am. So for those of you that don't know, Coleman's recently, well, not recently anymore, but has signed his life away to Belmont University for the next 4 years. Hopefully that's all it takes you to get through college.
Yeah.
And so I know you're excited about that. Let's talk briefly about that kind of recruitment process. What, you know, what was that like? What are some of the, you know, how your emotions as you went through that process, I guess would be the best word, because it's, you know, it's a pretty high stress environment for those couple of years where you're trying to get that first offer.
Yeah, it's definitely sometimes stressful trying to figure out where you're going to school, but I'd say one of my tips for people would be to just get your name out there as much as you can and talk to as many schools that you'd think you'd be interested in, because at some point somebody will talk to you, even if it's somebody new. As long as you've gotten your name out, the college golf circuit's pretty close. So if you get your name out, name will eventually get around to somebody who's interested in you. But once they figure out who you are, just stay calm and stay focused. Don't get nervous if a coach is out there watching you, because that's one of the big things, is you won't perform to your best ability if somebody's out there watching. But as long as you stay focused and stay calm, then it's all fine.
Yeah, I mean, and that's absolutely right. I think it's tough for most kids, and I know we've talked about it when you were going through that phase, that when a coach shows up, the first thing you want to do is start to, you know, impress, like you want to put on a clinic.
Exactly.
And you know, you kind of lose sight of your game, how you should play, how you do play, and so that can definitely lead you astray. Tell us and all the listeners out there, what were some of the big things that led you to decide to go to Belmont? You know, even after you agreed to go there, I mean, we had a couple calls from different colleges that we won't name, but you know, there was still opportunity for you to go to places, but ultimately you wanted to go to Belmont. What were some of those checklists that school provided for you?
One of the big things that made me realize that I liked Belmont so much was that if I wasn't an athlete, it'd still be a school that I'd be considering and probably want to go to, which is a huge thing because obviously you are playing a sport there, but most of the time you're a student. So you want to make sure you enjoy the school and the campus and the students. And that was really one of the big things for me was that I really liked the campus. I really liked where it was. I really liked the golf coach, especially. I think he's one of the nicest guys I've met. And I've grown up with the team, some of the team members, and know them a little bit. So it was all a good combination for where I'd want to go.
Yeah, and for those of you that aren't familiar with our area, Nashville is where Belmont is located. It's right in the heart of town. It's a great school. And you're right, Scott is a fantastic coach, great guy. And I couldn't speak highly enough about him. Yeah, I think you highlight some interesting points, but you were also an interesting character when it came to looking at colleges because you have roots in California. So when we were talking colleges, we weren't just talking southeastern region. We were also talking West Coast.
Yeah, it wasn't like I was anchored here, so I was definitely talking to other schools. There was one in Texas I was looking at and a couple in California. So I wasn't really had to stay rooted here because I have roots in multiple spots.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's something for a lot of kids to, think about is that, where you have families that, obviously can help if it wants you to draw you to a different part of the country, or maybe you're trying to avoid family. I think it was great for you too, because it gave you some different flavors of what different programs across the country are capable of and what they look like, and the different climates. I mean, Texas and California are not anywhere close to what Tennessee's like.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, that's good stuff. So, let's just kind of talk through your junior golf journey, right? So we hooked up in 13, started working together. You got off to a pretty fast start too, because you were like King Kong in relation to a lot of the other kids. You'd hit it a mile and swept everybody to death.
Yeah, and that was fun.
And then I don't know, we always say probably about eighth grade is when everybody else started to catch up to you a little bit.
Yeah, once I got into some of the high school tournaments, it faded away.
Yeah, so that distance kind of got everybody else kind of caught up with you at that point, so it was a little different journey. But
yeah,
what have been, in your mind, what's been some of the best moments from junior golf? What do you enjoy about it? What have you taken away from playing this game?
Yeah, I mean, the relationships I've made with so many golfers and people in the golf world have been stuff that I'll stay close to my whole life. A lot of my friends that, especially right when I moved here, I only knew kids in my school, and golf was a way for me to meet new people and meet friends from other schools. And now some of my closest friends don't even go to my school, which was awesome. And I think some of the tournaments that we go to, if you are able to go to tournaments with kids, the weekends away and eating dinner with your friends and having these little chip offs at cool courses and stuff is one of the most fun things you can have.
Oh yeah. There's nothing like having a good travel buddy.
Yeah.
And when you make your way through college and think about playing professionally, you'll realize that too, because you just get to do it all again, except it doesn't require school anymore. That's great insights. I mean, it's always interesting to hear some of the journeys, because, when I was your age, there was a plenty of events where I traveled with people and, we did the right things, followed the right routines and played well. And then we acted like fools some other times and played terribly.
Yeah.
What went wrong, so it's great to learn how to, not necessarily behave, but how to create a behavioral habit while you're on the road.
Yeah.
So definitely good stuff there. So before we get into the highlight of your career thus far, I want you to talk about, we had a little dip going into your sophomore year. You were hitting one of the bigger growth spurts. I think that's when you finally surpassed me in height. What was it like? You had a great freshman year. You stood out. You had a great season. And then we go in leading into that sophomore year, we just kind of struggled that summer. It was just hard for us to even crack 80 some days. How did you work through that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things is even when you're watching pros on TV and just your friends who are playing well, you'll notice that everybody has rough days and everybody goes through rough patches. And just recently, Webb Simpson won the Players after a few years of not winning anything.
4 years.
Yeah, 4 years of a drought. So it's something that takes patience. It's what golf's all about, is being humble and staying patient. So even when you're going through tough times, I think that it may not be fun in the moment, but just keep pushing and keep working, and most of the time you will strive through it.
Yeah, and definitely for the kids, when you go through growth spurts where I think you grew like 5 or 6 crazy amount of inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, your body doesn't know what it's doing anymore. You're just completely relearning where you are spatially. So it becomes hard to be accurate within a quarter of an inch when you can't even put your left foot in front of the other without tripping. So then last summer, you finally broke through and got what I would consider a major win. You won the Tennessee Junior Amateur Championship. I mean, you played insanely well. I was super proud of you. But prior to leading into that, and we'll talk about that in a second, you were playing in a couple events over that winter, and you would have an absolute standout first round. You'd go out, shoot 68, 69, and you'd be playing in the final pairing going into the weekend, and we'd have a hard time closing that weekend round. Walk us through what you did in your mind to go from, you know, getting that first round under your belt, being the leader, and then kind of, you know, fading a little bit, if you will, in the second round, but then turning that in and then just closing the deal and shutting everybody down, winning by 5 in the Tennessee Junior Am after 3 rounds.
Yeah, experience is huge for that. Being in those situations of playing good first rounds and being in the final group, it's hard to be those first few tournaments of you doing that to succeeding and pulling through every time. So after doing it a few times in the winter and through the spring, once the summer came around, I was a little more used to the pressure possibly. And also I got lucky enough to play with people who I've played with for years. It keeps the round calm and keeps it more loose, so it's not as stiff and uptight as some final rounds could be. So lucking out on a good group was a huge part of it as well.
Oh yeah. The playing partners, you know, is always helps, you know, ease the mind.
Yeah.
Group, there's no doubt about it. I just remember talking to you over that January. I think it was like your second event you played it. I think it was even at my club twice, where you went out, blitzed the first round, and we didn't walk away with a win.
Yeah.
I just told you, man, you're kicking the front door in right now. It just won't fall over.
And yeah, then
4 months later, you walk away with a Tennessee GRM championship, and then you get invited to the Tennessee Cup matches for the junior golf, and you get your state AM invite. I mean, walk us through what's that like when you finally break through and then you get all these opportunities laid before you that you've wanted for so long. And, you know, what's that sensation like?
Yeah, it's awesome having what you've been working for pay off so huge like that, and being able to be automatically into the next few state juniors and state AMs and state opens is a really fun experience, and being able to play on the Junior Cup was something that I'll remember forever. And being able to have those rewards is something that will push you to get to that point. And then after that has come to fruition, you'll want to keep pushing and strive for more, because the higher you get, the bigger the rewards can be.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It goes up to the tour level where you get, you know, unlimited invites to the Masters if you win the Masters.
Yeah.
So what, you know, you've played events all across the country. What has been your favorite event that you've played in? What have you really enjoyed?
I'd say the Tennessee Junior Cup that we put on last year. It's one of the most fun experiences. It's just a match play between the East and West best boys and girls in the state. And we get to go out to a really fun course and get some cool gear and hang out with some tour pros and have a really fun time with some good buddies.
Yeah, man, that was fun. Y'all got treated like tour players. You got more swag in that event than I've gotten from my entire staff contract.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So we've talked about this because, you know, getting your ranking in the country is big in recruitment. And we've talked about playing in certain events and not playing in others, and, you know, what were some weighing factors for you when you started to lay out your schedule for this summer? How did you go about picking your events?
Yeah, when you're in that age of looking for recruiting for colleges, you definitely want to make sure that your rankings are good. So I'll look at tournaments that historically will be high ranking on junior golf scoreboard or whatever your college, the college that you're interested in is looking at. go to big tournaments, go to tournaments that you might have the chance to win, because even going to big tournaments is huge, but colleges love seeing you win. So every once in a while, throw in something that you think you can show up and get the trophy. And then I think playing and stuff that just you would enjoy, going to courses that you think is fun, going to courses that you normally play well at, is stuff to always look at.
Yeah, definitely. What's your preparation for an event? How does Coleman Jones prep for, you know, the biggest events you got on your docket for your season?
Yeah, if there's big events, I'll always make sure to go play practice rounds. No matter what the tournament is, it's always important to play the practice round if it's possible. If the course has a yardage book, it's awesome going through the yardage book, studying it, figuring out where your misses might be to figure out the best way you could play the course, even on an off day. If I've played the course before, I'm on the driving range, I'll try to play the course on the range, hit the clubs I think I'd hit the tee shots I think I'd hit, and then really hone in the short game and the putting, because that is the biggest part of every tournament.
What do you think you do well in practice rounds that allow you to prepare? What's like your practice round strategy when you walk up to the golf course? What are you looking to accomplish?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out. I'm not keeping score, because that's always a hard testament to what you might play as. Because if you're keeping score and you play really well one day, if you're just like playing the course, it might put pressure on you to play well the next day. If you don't play well, you might think that you won't have a chance. So make sure to not keep score in practice rounds. But I'll just go out there, hit a few tee shots, see how my ball is flying that day, see how the course is running out, put balls in tough positions that I could miss shots in around the greens especially, and just putt to as much as I can.
Yeah, I mean, I remember walking the State Am with you last year, and, I mean, we putted every dot on that green for as long as we could without getting in trouble for pace of play.
Yeah.
You know, they had a one-ball rule off the tee, but we were able to, you know, take advantage of short game knowledge and figure out where the holes were cut, find the ridges and, you know, slopes that we could use to work the ball to the hole and things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Good prep always leads to good events. You know, I got you in touch with one of my boys that train around here in Nashville, Don Jolet. What do you do for workouts as far as fitness, mental fitness? You know, how do you take care of your body so that you're able to perform at a peak level?
Yeah, you definitely want to eat right. Working out is huge, but nutrition is always something that will take precedence over working out. So make sure that your nutrition is good, you're hydrating well, especially in the summer. Not staying hydrated and not eating before rounds and during rounds can totally make you fatigued in the round. Can totally slow you down for the last few holes, which is normally the most important. So making sure that your nutrition is good and that you're hydrated will keep you aware and focused in the round. Working out, I'll just do stuff on the main tools in golf, the core especially, and the leg workouts are two of the biggest parts, I think.
Yeah, man. You gotta be able to walk at least 5 or 6 miles.
Oh, yeah. Tons of cardio, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember when we were, you know, you were younger in your high school days, we had to have real talks about nutrition, because it's tough to see you wither. Like we talked about it, like we get to like 14 or 15, and we kind of wither and we realize you only had like a Gatorade and peanut butter crackers.
Yeah, exactly.
So nutrition definitely is important in the sense for us as athletes that you got to fuel your body. That's how you have to look at food. And you've definitely done a better job of keeping tabs of that, because now you are the closer, not just a closer. So we talk about practice, like Allen Iverson said. What are some of your favorite ways to practice? What do you do to stay engaged? I mean, you've probably hit a million golf balls already. So, you know, what do you do to keep from being bored while you practice?
Yeah, I try to, it's always nice to have a practice buddy. It's always nice to have a buddy on the golf course in general, like we've been talking about, but having somebody that you can practice with and do little competitions with is always a lot of fun, and it makes practicing a lot more enjoyable. So that's always good, but trying to push yourself and do activities that you might not like to do, but make them more interesting, like shot shapes, trying to pick out like tough shot shapes, go do closest to the pin challenges. One of my favorite things to do is the drop back drill on putting, is where you just putt and you go back a putter length every time to make it so that no matter what, you'll have like a 3-footer on every single putt. And that's always a good practice drill, so it gets your putting good. But it's always good to have somebody you can practice with, for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, that drawback drill is brutal.
Yes, but it's very helpful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll become clutch inside of 6 feet.
Yeah, for sure.
What kind of games do you play on the golf course when you play with your boys? What do you, you know, what kind of games do you guys play, like Wolf or best ball? What are y'all doing out there to be competitive?
Yeah, we'll do Wolf. That's a good one for pressure and stuff if you decide to go lone Wolf. Some of the other stuff I might do is pick shots for our own, for the other people. Like if we're out on the course inside 100 yards, sometimes we'll do drills of picking out shots for the other person, see how good they are. Playing worst ball is always a good drill, or alternate shot if you're with people, just because that's some of the tougher games. There's one game that we play of that's called Umbrella, where you have to put together birdies and closest to the pins and total score of the team. So not only does it put pressure on yourself, but it puts pressure to help out your teammate. And those are some of the stuff that we do the most.
Umbrella is interesting. I haven't heard that one. We're going to have to walk that one through.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, you know, you spend hours a day practicing. I know you do because I've watched you do it for years. Eventually, we have to break and do something fun and just break up the monotony of grinding, for even if it's just like for 15 or 20 minutes. How did you come across being so awesome at that 4-iron flop shot?
Yeah, I don't know. I've always liked flop shots. Even like one of our first lessons together, there was a flop wall.
Yeah,
at your old club, and I got as close as I possibly could and flopped it over it. You'd never seen that before.
Yeah, you were like 3 feet from the wall and flopped a 9-foot wall.
So I've always liked flop shots. I've always thought they're interesting, and that's one of like my more favorite shots, and it's also a shot that I'm better at. And I saw people on tour trying to do cool flop shots, and the whole Seve Ballesteros always using a 3-iron for every shot, and I just kept on the range. If I got bored for a couple shots, I'd just take whatever club I have and try to hit a flop shot with it, and it gets pretty fun.
Oh yeah. And then last time you were trying to do something where you hit it over your shoulder, like backwards.
Yeah. I saw that on Instagram. Thought it was cool.
I mean, it's, I think the other benefit to this, whether you've realized it or not, and I try and preach it, is that you've created your own creativity by doing that. You're experimenting with your golf club. You're learning how to use your golf club, and you know, you're not just using that one tool for one job, and now you're starting to learn how to use that tool for multiple jobs. And because of that, I think that's why I think you have one of the best hands of anybody that I work with, because I mean, it doesn't matter where I put you with that golf club, you're going to find a way to put the center of the face behind the golf ball.
Yeah.
So that is definitely, a great little thing that you've done, just to kind of, even though it may not be conducive and you'll never hit a 4-iron flop in a tournament, hopefully you don't have to.
That should never happen.
But it creates a great learning environment for sure. What are some of the best lessons you've learned from golf? You know, golf's everybody talks about how it's a mental game and how it's, a good test of fortitude and great to learn what real life is like, because you're going to get bad breaks. What are some of the best lessons you've learned from playing this game?
Yeah, those are the generic ones, but those are true. I mean, I think staying humble is one of the biggest things, because no matter who you see, everybody can have a bad day. So if you have a really good day and you think you're the stuff, the next day can be rough. So it's a very humbling sport for sure.
Yeah, that kind of should go with that.
Yeah. definitely patience, I think, because just how staying humble, there's the opposite side of it, of struggling for a while and not seeing anything pay off. But patience is huge, and even just in one round, staying patient till the end of the round could help you get up to the leaders, or the leaders come back to the field. So if you can stay patient and stay humble, Those are the two best things I think I've learned from golf.
Oh, man, I completely agree. So a couple more questions, and we'll wrap things up. I want to give you a chance to have a final word, but I'm going to kind of prelude it with one more. And you've been very kind in helping me run my U.S. Kids local tour. You've been helping me run it from inception. And if you had the opportunity to, give a piece of advice to a young junior golfer or a parent with a junior golfer, from your experience coming up through the game, what would be some insights, whether good or bad, from your experience coming up as a junior golfer? What would you want to be able to pass on and tell to somebody else that's coming in behind you?
Yeah, one of the biggest things, and this may be my only point, is just to make sure that it's fun. Because a lot of the times in some of the junior tournaments that I'm out at or from when I was playing in them, you can tell that sometimes the parents or the kids themselves are putting way too much pressure on a situation that should be enjoyable. You're still a kid, so don't put too much pressure on every situation and just go out there and have fun, because golf is a game. It's a fun game. It can take you a really long way, but also you want to make sure that you're enjoying it.
Yeah, and I think that's a great, great insight, Coleman, because, I mean, this is coming from the kid that was hit the pinnacle for the state as far as an amateur champion can be for junior golf. And there's obviously pressure there. And the last thing you want is an outside influence, whether it be a parent or a caddy, making the situation worse. And I got to tell everybody, nobody wants to fail. That's just the human condition. We don't want to fail. And so I think you hit the nail on the head where, sometimes we put a little too much pressure, if you will, or just expectation that we're supposed to be perfect. So that is a great insight. The game's fun. It's supposed to be fun. That's why we do it, right?
Yeah.
Good. All right, Coleman. So this is your final word. Go ahead and give us whatever piece of advice, tip, cool trick, whatever you want to send on to the junior golfers behind you. I'm going to let you pick whatever you want to say. This is your opportunity to spread some knowledge.
Yeah. Just like what I said, just have fun out there. It's always it could be a battle one day and fun the next, but always make sure that you put your best foot forward. Always try hard, but always make sure that you're enjoying it. Make sure that when you're practicing that you practice the right things, but still have fun there too. And flop shots is a really fun way to do it. Just practice as much practice flop shots every once in a while if you're trying to take a breather. It's a really good way to work on your club head control, your ball control, your hands. Do tons of fun shot shaping. Try to hit some big hooks into pins. See how the ball rolls out. See how you can turn your hands. See how you can just mess with it a little bit. Just like Bubba Watson. Obviously, it's working for him. So just do as much as you can to enjoy the game, and just keep working.
Well, that is awesome insight, Coleman. You hit the nail on the head, and I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. You're a graduating senior. You got a lot on your plate, chasing all these graduation parties and fun and getting ready for your next event, which is coming up. So obviously I'm going to wish you well, because I always wish you well. And thank you for your time, my friend. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Once you get some college experience under your belt.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, my man. Have a great afternoon, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the information that Coleman has brought upon us today. He's a great, smart young man that I've had an opportunity to work with for the last few years. And I can't speak highly of this kid enough. He's worked so hard to get to where he's at, and he's got such a bright future ahead, and I can't wait to see where it goes. So I hope you enjoyed it. Next time, I'm interviewing the local tour director for U.S. Kids Golf. I'll be doing that on Thursday morning, so that podcast will probably come out later that day or Friday. So I would look for that as well. We're going to talk about U.S. Kids Golf and their ventures. I'm a local tour director for them here in Nashville, so I obviously believe in the program and what they put out. So I look forward to sharing that information with you and those insights. So until then, enjoy the warm weather. Get out there and practice.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.